Mishnas Tochein. The Rambam says that this is an example of an Av which has a Toldah. The Av Malacha of Tochein, of course, is grinding, whether that's grinding spices, the Samamonim that was in the Mishkan, or grinding wheat, like Sidur Depas. So you're taking one kernel or one seed, and by pounding it, by applying force, you are subdividing it, you're breaking it down into smaller particles. So the Rambam therefore tells us that a person who takes an organic item, chmechatech yerek dak dak, that's the example of a toldah. So why is that a good example of a toldah? Why does the Rambam use that as the classic example? Right, we saw this in Perek Ches. Because here you have a similar tachlis, hamalacha, but its pu'ula is different. The pu'ula is only dome to the av. It's not exactly the same as the av, and therefore it's going to be downgraded to a toldah. This idea of breaking one thing into particles is why we discussed in the context of Dash, the Malach of Cholev. There's Yireim who points out that there are those who argue that Cholev is actually Mishum Tochein. Right? Did we mention this when we saw? I think we did mention it. Right? So what's the pshat? What's the pshat? Because you have one, you look at it as one unit of milk in the udder of the cow, and then you are, I guess you're subdividing it, so to speak, into smaller droplets by extracting it one at a time. Now, again, I'm not saying that we paskin like this, Rav Shechter thought it was very strange, but conceptually, if the toldah of Tochein is mechatech yerek dak dak, taking something which is naturally one and cutting it down to bite-sized pieces, so you could hear how that Yireim makes somewhat sense. So what are the cases that we talk about? So the classic case the Gemara told us was Parim Silka and Solis Silsi. And the Rambam then added, right, everybody saw the Rambam about Shaf Mateches. So the Rambam added that there are non-food items to which you could also apply the Malacha of Tochein, similar to the Rigvei Afar. Rashi mentioned that when you grind up
dirt,
so that too could be subject to the concept of Tochein. Sure. So let's talk about these cases from the perspective of what items are subject to the Malacha of Tochein. So the Truma Sedeshin we saw in the Chuvas, I think, what did we see? It was Nunvav?
Nunzayin.
So the Truma Sedeshin suggested that perhaps the whole notion of Tochein only applies to Gidulei Karka. Now, later Achronim wonder, and I haven't seen, unless anybody has seen here, a precise and systematic set of principles that govern when and where we say Ein blank Ela B'Gidulei Karka. Right? We saw this was a machlokas in the context of Losh. The Gemara talks about it in the context of Ma'amer. We mentioned earlier, way back at the beginning of the Limud, that Lechora, this applies to Malachos of Shabbos because it's a function of Malachos Machsheves, that we look at the Mishkan, so we're going to draw principles based on the models of the Mishkan. The thing is that we don't draw every case from the Malachos of Mishkan, right? We don't say that Tzovea is only subject to the colors or the dyes that were used in the Mishkan.
And we don't say Opa is only subject to
So it's a little interesting, and so I don't know if anybody sees a good, I think Rabbi Sobolovsky pointed this out years ago. He said he doesn't know that there is a systematic shita, but we do see that this one nakuda of Gedulei Karka does cut across many of the malachos. The Truma Sedeshin says, yeah, here too you'd apply the principle of Gedulei Karka. Now, you can then subdivide that question into what constitutes Gedulei Karka, because we pointed out that the Rambam's opinion was that when it came to Lush,
excuse me, when it came to dosh, animals were considered gidulei karka, at least for the purpose of the tolda, right? That choliv could be chai mishum dosh, even though the Rambam assumed we paskin like the chacham against Rabbi Yehuda that ain disha ela gidulei karka lebute potzeh chilazon, right? Chilazon we said was not gidulei karka, but even if the choliv is mishum dosh is gidulei karka, here you can wonder, is the behemah gidulei karka? That's A. maybe for purposes of tolchein, you could say it's different than dosh. I don't know. That's an interesting thing to think about. But the assumption here is that chicken or meat is not to be considered gedulei karka in our context.
That's what Trumas Hadeshin's claim.
Which is exactly what the Trumas Hadeshin is trying to point out, which is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Ramah, I should say. But Moshe points out in the tshuva that we saw in the Marmakomos that it's important to note that this is not a problem for the case of afar. Because when we talk about gedulei karka, it only makes sense to talk about gedulei karka and non-gedulei karka in the mizgeret of ochel. Right? Because he quotes, he said there are those who argue and they say, oh, how can you say it's in tochein elo b'gedulei karka, but we have tochein in dirt? And Rav Shechter points out that dirt is not gidulei karka, it's karka mamish. That's why you can't put dirt on the top of your sukkah, because dirt is karka, not gidulei karka. So how could you say there's tochin over there? So Rav Moshe says very simple. Trei gavnei, there are two tracks. As Rav Lichtenstein, Zeichet Tzadav Kosh Levracha, might say, Shnei Rutsim, right? There's one track, which is a food track. That food track is subject to gedulei karka. One track is a non-food track. It's also a tolda, but it's not a food track. How does that make sense? Because if you go back to the source, the whole idea of Yalfinami Mishkan, that the model of the Mishkan, so they're talking about the av, and the tolda of that, the track within that, of food, of machatech yarek dak, that is going to be similar to the Mishkan in the sense that it is a food-like product. It's a food, and therefore it's a product that's like the Av. So for that, perhaps, you say, that needs to be doma to the Mishkan, the gedulei karka. The other tolda, that's a non-food tolda, that doesn't necessarily have to be comparable to the Mishkan in that way. And so therefore, just because one track is subject to gedulei karka, the other track does not have to be. And that's exactly what Moshe is assuming. Yeah?
Yossi and I saw a similar distinction to this Mr. Moshe, but in a slightly different language, which is not that the two tracks of Tochein are food versus non-food, but it's on the mechanism in which you do it. In other words, Chotech Dak Dak is one mechanism versus grinding as a powder is another, is the other mechanism. So the Rambam, it's Meduga, the Rambam,
Shof Matefes.
Sounds like he's got his second Tolda. And the biggest drive for that is when the Rambam says, if you do the Avalacha and the Tolda, you have only one carbon. He says, for example, you do Tochein Kamach, and you do Shat Matachas, and you do Chotech Yara. He says, you have only one carbon because you did an Avitoldosa, and it's Toldos. It sounds like you did two Toldos.
Right, because Shat Matachas is an independent track from Chotech Dak Dak.
Because it's food versus food. So Rabbi Willick says, suggests a different split, that is shaf versus chotek.
Okay, interesting. So the interesting thing about that is it kind of goes to the Chazon Ish's question as to whether or not you really make a distinction between the
Merasek
versus chotek, which Lechora is at the heart of that issue, where we assume that there isn't a difference. The Chazon Ish assumed that there was, but La Halacha, most posts can assume that there's not. Not to mean it right for the Shechika immediately before the eating. It's not a clean
meal. I mean, unless you're saying, what you just pointed out, that community, the Karka being a Manti are only exist in one of those two kinds, not the other.
Exactly. So, okay, so yeah. So it could be that that's part of that Gemara that changes from Sammanim to Sidura de Pas, that we all of a sudden, because that's a general question, which is what happened to the Sammanim being the model when the Gemara moves. So it could be that the Sidura de Pas shift away from, even though Ashkechan some wanted to have a Mishkan, but Sidur de Pas, so it could be that that's really redefining the all of these processes, the model. Could be that's part of what the Gemara might be saying.
And we saw that was the one that Rashi posted. When the Gemara says, you know, Shekhen Ani Ochopito Velo Katisha, Joseph says, no, it means an Ani does, you know, summon money Velo Katisha because that's the Eker.
And Rashi's
probably
said,
happy
no.
to say that Sinur the past is mine here. How
exactly. Yeah. So this is, I think, this is one prism through which we need to look at the Malacha of Tochen, all these questions, which seems to be accepted by the Ramah, and that's what the Shemir Shabbos points out here in Perek Vav, that if you have non-Kidule Karka items, so they're not subject to the Malacha of Tochen. That's prism number one. So eggs, meat, other things that are fish, non-Kidule Karka, right? Okay, so that's prism number one. Prism number two is the Rush. Right? The Rush understands that Parim Silka and Solis Silsi are both, they're both cases having to do with wood. Why? Because the Rush thinks that there's no way that you can violate Tochein on food. So why not? So we were wondering about this, and there are probably different ways to understand it, but perhaps one way of thinking about it is that a person always, always chews their food with their teeth and does an action of tochein. Right? Unless you eat something holy, like you're a snake that swallows something whole, a reptile, where you have no, and you don't have teeth, we could set you up with teeth if you have no teeth. Baruch Hashem. Mimela, nobody in their right mind would say that eating is a violation of Tochein, even though we saw that the Gemara, I think it was Kuf Lamed Gimel, says that if you want to get something, like the case where you were grinding up for medicinal purposes, using your teeth is Tochein. The teeth do create Trina, but not when you eat. In a Hanami, if I need to crush up something for medicinal purpose, I put it in my teeth and I chew it, spit it out, and give it to you, that would be a problem of tochein. But tchina as a maisa achila is certainly not a violation of malacha of tochein. Therefore, yeah.
Now, what if you can say a little bit higher than that tchina is taking something and substantially changing it. And because, as you pointed out, we always chew things of achila, so you take something, you pound and grind it up a little bit, it's still the same, it's still open. It's all right in your mouth like that, but we take something like metal or wood, and you turn it to sawdust, now it's a whole different.
Interesting. Okay. So I would suggest, so Yossi's saying that it's more mitzad, how to understand the chefza, right? Is the chefza transformed?
We saw that with the chilek, and what someone said, I think, in the Rambam. Was it the Rambam? I remember you said it. There was a difference between wheat and flour, is very different than the difference between, you know, just like bananas that are mashed up.
Okay.
But when you say that, it's hard to put that in the rush.
But the point is, you're looking at a mitzah, the chefza.
Yeah.
I'm wondering about it more mitzah, the maisa that the person is doing. The rush says, look, we know that there's no issue for a person to chew their food. That's not malechas tochein. And so when a person sits down at their table, we also can't imagine that taking a half a piece versus a quarter of a piece, whether that would be the malacha of tochein, either, as Yossi is saying, more mitzad, you haven't really done a transformation to the maisa, to the chefza, or mitzad the maisa, that what you did, that's very similar to just putting it in your mouth. So at some point, maybe back in the granary, or back in the industrial complex, there was a way to do tochein on grain, but at the table, that's just part of the eating process. Vaharai, you do tochein with your teeth, that's not tochein. So do tochein on your plate, that's not tochein. So the Rush would say, look, if you're talking about a food item, there's no such thing as tochein. If you're allowed to do it in your mouth, so then that means that food is mufka from tochein. So the Korban Asanal is upset about this Rush, Al Atar, but, you know, the rush is not inconsequential, And so it's interesting that when you look in the Achronim, you know, you got this difference of opinion in how to understand the Rush. If you look in the Chazon Ish, he makes it sound like the Rush is like off the reservation, totally wild. When you look at Rav Ovadia, both in that piece in the Livya Schein, which I realize I should take a picture of it and send it around because it's awesome, and in that tshuva in the Echav Adas, in the Chelek Hei that was on the Mar Mekomos, Rav Ovadia does not think that this Rush is so unusual. So this is the second prism. If you accept the Rush, then there's no tchina by food. It's not subject to it at all. How do you understand the Shulchan Aruch? The problem is the Shulchan Aruch is very sussum. He just quotes that he quotes the Lashon of the Rambam, that you're not allowed to be, not exactly the Lashon of the Rambam, only one of those Rambams, right? Two of the Lashon of the Rambams added Kedei Levashlo, the third one did not have it, but he just quotes HaMechate Chayerek Dak Dak Chai Mishum Tochein. So the Magen Avram in Yud, he doesn't think that you abandon the Rush. The Rush is part of the equation, but maybe the Rambam was, maybe the Shulchan Aruch was more machmir, or he wasn't talking about this, or maybe Dafke Yerek, as we'll get to in a second, but the Chazon Ish thinks the Rush is off the reservation. We totally do reject the Rush. But I don't think that's the impression that you get from the Magen Avram, because that's the first thing he quotes is the Rush in Yud. And that's the way Rav Ovadia thinks, that the Rush is not outvoted. So this is the second thing that you need to think about. That which one? The Livya Schein, I think it was in Samach Beis or Samach Gimel. So, but it's the Magen Avram. The Magen Avram, right off the bat in Os Yud, the Magen Avram says, yeah, the Rush says, ain't Trina Ba'ochlin. Chazon Ish says, oh, that's totally rejected. It's not. But the Magen Avram doesn't sound like it's totally rejected. That's number two. Number three, which is in which the context that's Magen Avram, he puts them together, but Tosva said, Dafka Silka. So why Dafka Silka? Right? In Kuf Yud Daled, Tosfos did not make that chiluk about Silka. He said big versus small, but what's Tosfos driving at? Why Silka? What's so special about Silka? So one way of understanding that, the way the Drisha writes it on the tour, is that Tosfos is understanding it the same way, perhaps, as the Rambam. Not like the Chazon Ish, right? The Chazon Ish is a very narrow interpretation of Tosfos, but perhaps the reason why the Rambam, why Tosfos singles out Silka, is because A, it's not something which is eaten raw, and B, therefore the cutting it is important for the purpose of cooking it. That was the normal way of preparing selek, is cutting it up and cooking it, which would mean lots of other things. And this is what brings us to the fourth perspective, right? If number three, if Tosfos is Dafka Silka, which if he means actually only Silka itself, we would have to figure out why Silka is that the only thing, Dafka Silka or something else, right? If you look at the Magen Avram, who thinks that Tosfos agrees with the Rosh in principle that Ein Trina Ba'ochlin, so then Dafka Silka actually means only beets, and that there's something special about beets, but all other foods not. But even if you take the other approach in Tosfos, that it's Silka is a class of foods, but it's only one class of foods. All the other classes of foods are not included. So what might that be? So that might be point number four, which is the Rambam, that it's Dafka Kedei Levashlo. So the Drishuk said that this was the Pshat in Tosfos, that Kedei Levashlo means if it's something that you are going to cook, so then, you know, like the Rambam said about Melacha Mimeleches Habishul, right? It's part of a process of preparing something. So the Rambam understands that, and this goes back to Yossi's point before, about a transformation of the item. The item is only transformed if it's in the process of cooking. If it's something that you would eat without cooking, then the cutting up is inconsequential. And this brings us perhaps to point number five, which is the Ritva's point of quoting from the Ra'ah, that it's Dafka Davar that's not Nechal Chai, which may be the Rambam's Shita or may not be the Rambam's Shita. Right? The Ra'ah's point is that it's a question of, is it Nechal Chai Is it eaten raw or is it not eaten raw? As opposed to for the Rambam says kedei lavashlo. So the nafkamina would be, let's say you have carrots and you plan to eat these carrots. You're just chopping them up for whatever reason, but you're not going to, you're chopping them up to make them fine. You're not, you're mincing them. You're not cooking them. So according to the Rambam, since it's not kedei lavashlo, l'chora, that's not a problem of tochein. Whereas, and according to the Ra'ah, since it is a davar which is nechal chai, so it also wouldn't be a problem. The shaila would be, right, that's not the nafkamina. Nafkamina is the reverse case. The nafkamina is in a case where you have something which is nechal chai, but you plan to cook it. Sorry, that's the nafkamina. You have carrots, and you're going to cook them. So the Rambam would say, oh, kedei lavashlo, that's a problem. The Ra'ah would say, yeah, but it's not it's nechal chai. It's not a davar sheino nechal chai, and therefore, so it could be the difference between the Rambam and the Ritva, in the name of the Ra'ah. We also saw this Ra'ah quoted, we saw it, where was that? In the Shita L'Ran, nafkaminet, between these two, it might be the question that Yossi raised before about the difference between the Maisa versus the Chetza.
That you can still expect that the Rambam, by saying it, it's not, you have to cook it, is trying to say something that's royal.
Right, so it could be. It could be.
Which we could argue perhaps like the Rambam, that it's not considered appeal, both we want.
Could be. So, exactly. The other way to read this Rambam is not literally kedei lavashlo, but what is not nechal chai, and then the Rambam and the Ra'ah are saying the same thing.
And maybe it's not like a rush.
Maybe, that food, things which are...
An edible have to be cooked. You probably an edible and not open.
Well, the problem with the rush...
The rush wouldn't have said that something would.
Right. The rush seems to be much more expansive in saying no food. But, especially if you understand like Tosfos, so this will be putting those three together. So, the question is...
I think there is actually quoted the Re also.
Quoted the Re also.
So then,
if that's the case... So we have to figure out, is the Ra'ah the same sheet as the Rambam or not? Right? Maybe they are, as Yossi is pointing out. But even if they're not, one or both of those might be, as the Drisha said, Shitas Tosfos, which now has a much more limited definition. So this first issue of what foods are subject to Tochein, you have to look through each one of these carefully. Number one, Gedulei Karka, not Gedulei Karka. So that was the Trumas Hadeshin's suggestion. We accept that halacha lemaisa. The Rosh, Chazanish, not into it, but if you see from the Magen Avraham, certainly into it. Tosfos, definitely quoted here by the Magen Avraham, limiting the case. And the Rambam and the Ritva, they're not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch because the Shulchan Aruch leaves out the Kedei Lavashlo line and he includes Yerek. But if we understand that maybe like the Rambam, Yerek is different than Peros, right? That Lashon of the Rambam, Ein Tchina BePeros, which Ketz Mishnah was, like Magen Mishnah, but it was very troubled by that line, that gigantic, enormous Merkevas Mishnah we were struggling with. But maybe Yerek, maybe Yerek is Dafka because Yerakos were not Nechal Chai. And so maybe the Rambam and potentially this Ra'ah and Shitas Tosfos are all still operative in terms of what things are subject to Tochein. So if the Rambam is true, and the Ra'ah is true, and the Tosfos is Dafka Silka, so what are the most things that we're cutting in the kitchen on Shabbos? Cucumbers, avocados, carrots, tomatoes. So those things, even though they're Gedulei Karka, but they're all Nechal Chai, and it's not Kedei Lavashlo. They're not Doma to Silka. So, even though the Shulchan Aruch writes, Mechatech, Yerek, Dak, Chai, Mishum, Tochein, the Magen Avraham is much more limiting on that front. So that's number one. Number two, the Heter of Miyad. So the Tshuvas HaRashba that we saw introduces the parallel between Borer, that we saw last time, that there's a heter of either Derech Achila, or it's not called Borla Otzer, The Rashba assumes that that's called Derech Achila, and once you have a heter in Shabbos of Derech Achila, as we pointed out last time, you can expand that heter to all other malachos that make sense to talk about Derech Achila. So, the Rashba says, Memela, if you are chopping up the altar, which we are going to define as Samach Lasuda, because it uses the same barometer as Borer, so like the Achronim discussed, or Moshe said, as much as time is necessary to prepare for your meal, so the Rashba says mutter. Miyad is mutter, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch does not quote it, but that's what the Ramah quotes it, im loch lo miyad hakol shari. Now, it is true that, first of all, the Chazon Ish reinterprets this line of hakol, limiting it. It does not include the first case of the Grogos v'charuvim v'fnei zekeinim, but l'chor, that's a big chiddush. It's hard to understand how he thought that is true from the Ramah, just the lashon of Hakol. It is true that the Mishkan es Yaakov in Kuf Yudalid was machmir. He did not like this Rashba, and he assumed that we don't paskin like that. He left a bitzar chiyun. The Shulta Giborim that we saw, the Shulta Giborim was mefakvek on this Rashba. On the other hand,
he was pretty strongly opposed.
He was mefakvek seriously on the Ramah. On the other hand, the Ramah quotes it, and the Magen Avraham says the minig was lahakel. The minig was lahakel. So even though the Chazon Ish is machmer, if you look in the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef seems to say meikra din, we follow the Rashba. He just says at the end, you know, it's kedai to be machmer that even if you're going to rely on the heter of the Rashba of Miyad, you should cut it a little bit bigger. Yeah.
It sounds like you're presenting the Chazon Ish as being against the Magen Avraham and the Ramah. I totally agree with that. But I'm just saying the Chazon Ish writes that the Magen Avraham, he thinks the Magen Avraham and the Ramah only meant their kula in the context of Chotech and not in the context of
right. So but I'm pointing right. No, 100%. But that's what I'm pointing out, that the Chazon Ish reads the word Hakol.
Right, very limited.
Only in the last two cases, not in the first case. But in general, the Chazon Ish is not in favor of the Rashba. If you look at that Chazon Ish,
Yeah. You'll
see he lines up all the what he calls the Shitas Dechuyas, right? He puts the Tosfos and the Rosh and the Rashba. He basically lines them up and shoots them down one at a time. So it's like 0 + 0 + 0 = 0. But Rav Ovadia, in that Chazon Ovadia in Samach Beis, he says absolutely not. We are maker like the Rashba Halacha Lamaisa. Period. The Beis Yosef had that little line, Lahachmer, he says that's basically just Midas Chassidus.
And he says for kids, you shouldn't even take on the Midas Chassidus.
Why would you apply the Midas Chassidus based at Tzorech? So Mishnah Berurah and Mem Hei, he's known to like the Beis Yosef to cut it a little bit bigger. But it's important to put all the Shitas on the table, because when you start looking at them and you say, wait a second, if you're talking about something that's not Kadei Lavashlo, you're talking about celery, and you're doing it Samach Lasuda, so according to the Chazon Ish, you basically dismantle every Kula, so there's nothing left, so it should be Aser. But according to Rav Ovadia has the exact opposite presentation. So when you finish with all the Shitas and the Rishonim together, there's no reason to be Machmir. So, you know, that's why you go to somebody's house, so somebody will call you with a shayla. You have to know the person. If there are people who are always machmer for the Chazon Ish, so they'll look over, they should be machmer for this too. But if they're not machmer for every chumra of the Chazon Ish, the chumra.
Which point? Of cutting it bigger or not even cutting it bigger?
So that's exactly the point.
Can I use the Rashba?
You have to know where it is that these people fall. The Mishnah Berurah says, should cut a little bigger, like the Beis Yosef. Rav Ovadia says, good, that's a nice chumra. So it depends on what you're talking about.
The Mishnah Berurah is not being machmer for the Chazon Ish.
No. No. Right.
This is where the revenge is going to all come
to. So in B'nai Brak, they're not machmir for this Chazon Ish?
I'm sure they are.
And so they're not doing any Marasik.
They're not doing any Marasik Bechlal.
Unless they're doing the one Shinoi trick that the Chazon Ish presents. Right?
That was only the case of the bananas.
All right.
Otherwise, he needs a Chazon Sakina.
Right.
So you have to know. So if someone were to ask you, so what would you tell them? So I assume you would tell them, the regular average balabas, you would say to them, you know what, lechatchila, make it a little bit bigger. But the wife says, it's going to ruin my Shabbos. My salad, I can't cut it before Shabbos because the tomatoes are going to get soggy. And I'm going to do it some with Lasuda. And, you know, there's no Kadeh Lavashlo. So you would tell her, okay, I would think. If you don't always accept the Chazon Ish, you would say, good sometime, cut it up right before.
Even though...
That's a high level of piety.
But also, the
Rebbe belongs in Bnei Brak. You came from Bnei Brak.
Okay. But I think the average person, Rav Moshe would say, it's for kids. You're not going to be machmer on the cheshbon of the kids. For the wife who wants the salad a certain way. So in Bnei Brak, they would say, so don't make that salad. But the Aruch HaShulchan, I love this Aruch HaShulchan in Hilchos Yontif we did a few years ago. Remember this Aruch HaShulchan? Aruch HaShulchan says that you do not have to craft your menu based on the halacha. Right? The din is in Hilchos Yontif, if you can present food in a way that will not be affected by cooking it before, so you should cook it before, the Rama says. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, that doesn't mean that you have to make a menu of all the things that you can cook before. If you want to make a menu of things that all need to be cooked on Yontif because they're going to taste better fresh, Aruch HaShulchan says, Gesund Dayit. So I would say, that's the point. That's the second point, yeah.
Well, I feel like this happens a lot. You know, a woman asks you for, you know, about making the salad, and you tell them cut a little bit bigger. And they want to know, like, So, but I feel like perhaps that's where the thing is broken. Like, because that's the point. This is like a chumrah to, this is a chumrah of the basis. If you're being the Chazon Ish, that's one thing. But if you're sticking with the promotion and the basis, you just tell them, a little bit bigger, because
Good. Okay, we're going to get to that maybe, but let's bring back when we get to a little bit bigger. Okay, I just want to hold that for a second. Let's go to number three. Ha'ar number three. And that is the Yerem's Chiddush, which he quotes from the Rashbam, it's quoted by Ben Agos Maimoni. Ein tochen achar tochen. You have a cookie, and we all know if you give a mouse a cookie, he may want to grind it up. It's a Beferish Shadim. No?
Chocolate chips ground already?
Okay, we'll get to chocolate chips in a second. So the Yerem quotes the Balei HaTosfos that there's no tochein achar tochein. So what's the pshat? So you have to go back to the original model that you're looking at a seed or a wheat kernel. So that was one organic entity. And by grinding it, you crush it up into much smaller pieces. But if you take, and this is the Chazon Ish's Hagdara, if you take multiple items and you artificially construct one thing, so then deconstructing them is not tochein, is not subdividing them, because they were only held together by glue in the first place. So they were never one item. That's why the Prima Gadim says that it's dafka that b'shas briyaso, it was one thing. He's talking about two kinds of melach. You have two kinds of salt. You had one kind of salt that was mitchilas briyaso, a big chunk of salt. That's the way it was made in nature. And when you harvested it from the salt mine, it came out as one big chunk. So that big chunk, if you cut it up into small pieces, if you pulverize it, so that's a problem of tochein. But if you take salt and through some kind of human process, put the pieces together, so then that's not called one entity. That's not called one organic guf echad. So where this gets interesting, halacha lemaisa, is how do you consider something which has been reconstructed to be one item? It's for sure true that the case of the cookie, the bread, if you look at it, you see lots of different kernels, pieces of grain, which are made into dough and basically stuck together through the liquid medium. And so when you're mafar it, mafar lechem, that case of the of the Urim, so that's not a problem, because it's clearly independent items. The interesting thing comes up, it's machlokas in poskim, of how you view the reconstitution. Is it possible, like the Chazon Ish said, well, if it's humanly constructed, that's artificial. So if you take that very strictly, that if it's reconstructed by humans, it is not considered to be guf echad. So that's why the Shmir Shabbos here in the end of Perek Vav, he thinks that grinding up chocolate is no problem. Because chocolate is just crushed up cacao beans that have been reconstituted through a long circuitous route to end up with a bar.
It's very surprising because grinding metal is the same thing, and that's for sure.
So you can always point out that food and non-food items are not the same.
What about one of the dishes?
So,
when we saw this last year with sugar. Through the sugar process, the officials want to argue a whole new bria, panapadashas, and no connection to the original.
So it's possible that that may relate to this second shita. If you look in the Orcho Shabbos, Orcho Shabbos quotes poskim who are machmir on the chocolate.
The
yes.
The Orcho Shabbos quotes.
Yes. Yes. It's in Os Chaf Aleph. He says Nira. And certainly, we'll get to it in a second. Okay. Chud hasakin, the knife blade. And his svara is essentially what Yossi was arguing. What he says in the footnote here, in Mem, it's batla tchina kodemes, because it's nitach v'chodev is gavish ve'enu dobo le'isa shenefsa. Which basically is saying panim chadashos.
So can you differentiate that with the bread?
So he's saying that's exactly what he's saying. He's saying that bread and chocolate are totally different. Eino doma leisa shenefsa.
But why? I'm saying now we've given that a dar. How are you going to differentiate?
So I assume what he means is that since the tiny particles are indistinguishable, he doesn't explain it. But I'm assuming what he means is that the tiny particles are indistinguishable and they're made into this new entity. So then, you know, but I think what the Shmir Shabbos is claiming, based on Rav Shlomo Zalman, is that, no, it doesn't really matter. And what's the difference? Let's say you have a wheat, which is ground up so finely, and it was mixed with certain water or oil, and it's baked into a cake, and the baked item is so, I don't know, smooth, that you can't recognize any dots. There's no dots. So...
once we know that by the bread, it'd be very hard to argue from the Chadashah. So I wondered if you could say it.
So that I think is exactly the Machlokas of Poskim. That's goof for the Machlokas of Poskim. That if you go with the strict constructionalist Maisa Yadav Shal Adam, that is the end of Tochein, so it doesn't matter how it's reconstituted. It's always going to be artificially Mechubar. As opposed to if you say no, it's more about whether or not it constitutes a new entity, so then potentially yesh ladan. So that's an interesting ha'ara. However, what he points out here in the Orcha Shabbos, which is point number four here, is that even if you have something which is not gedulei karka, even if you have something which is tochein achar, tochein potentially, you still have another issue to contend with, and that was the Tshuvas Rivash that we saw, where the Rivash introduced the problem of a Kli HaMiyuchad for Tchina. What's the basis of that Rivash? Well, the premise of the Rivash was like the Rashba to compare Borer to Tochein. And just like in Melech's Borer, we have the Heter of Derech Achila, so you're going to use your hand, and it's going to be Miyad, or La Alter, and Ochel Mitoch Psoles, that's called Derech Achila, like the Rashba. So we're going to have that same heter for Tochein. Well, so too, if you have a Kli HaMiyuchad Lekach, if you have a specialized piece of equipment, so then that's going to be Osir in Hilchos Borer. It's also going to be Osir categorically in Hilchos Tochein. What about the middle case? Right, in Borer we had Kanon and Tamchoy. So in Hilchos Tochein, we don't actually have a parallel for that, because we're going to say that the standard kli, like the fingers of your fork or the back of your spoon, so that is just going to be an extension of yourself, perhaps the same way that your teeth, which could be a kli for tochein, when they're used in the preparation of the food for eating, when you're chewing, that's not called tochein. So a standard kli does not have the chumra of kanona tamchui, because that's the obvious blank that's missing. However, the Rivosh then adds the next wrinkle, which is, it's interesting to me, it seems like, I don't know if others saw more poskim who pick this up, it seems like the majority of the Achronim who pick up this Rivosh are emphasizing the second Hesber for the Rivosh over the first one, but the Rivosh presents both. The second Hesber for the Rivosh to be Machmir is because he thinks this is a problem of Uvdin Dechol. Now, Rav Moshe, in that series of tshuvas there in Or HaChaim Chelek Dalet Siman Ayin Dalet, in the section on Tochein, he takes a shot at explaining what is Uvdin Dechol. And because of Anias Daiti Aklusha, I can tell you that I cannot summarize or explain what exactly Rav Moshe's definition is of Uvdin Dechol, because it comes up in many different places in Halakha, and the language that he uses, he is trying to say that, well, this is more Derech Malacha, so it's more Vachadik, and this is more Arai, and therefore it's less standard, and therefore it's less Vachadik.
So do you think I thought the parameters would be different each Malacha?
That's clearly the case. The question is how to come up with what constitutes vachadik. It's very difficult. Somebody quoted from Rav Stav. What did you say Rav Stav said about?
I said Rav Stav says it's the most obscure concept.
So it's very, very difficult. So we don't need to get into the parameters of it to understand that in Hilchos Tochein, we just know that if you have a kli that's miyuchad for trina, so that would be a problem. So that's why the Rebizen, which is the Pompia, the greater, which for those who made Pesach this year for the first time because of coronavirus, maybe actually use their own hand grater. There were those who used it for the first time because they made Pesach for the first time. That would be the classic example, the Pompia, the Rebizen. That would be the Spitz Klisha Malachtolis, the Spitz Uvdin Dechol of the Rivash. And that's why the Orcha Shabbos says, if you're going to use chocolate, you have to be careful. Certainly you shouldn't use a pompia, based on that Rivash. However, Rav Moshe points out, number one, that's not true for a cheese slicer, because a cheese slicer, that's not tochein, and so to use a kli that's miyuchad for cutting, that's not an issue. The machlokis came up regarding your favorite...
Oh, Hackmaster 2000.
That's right, your favorite implement, your favorite kitchen utensil, the Hackmaster, which we pointed out is some kind of cleaver, where on the one hand, you would say, maybe it should be called a kli miyuchad lakach, because it is generally used for mincing, says the Mishnah Brura. And therefore, since it is generally used for mincing, dicing, cutting up tiny pieces, so then you should say that's a problem of kli miyuchad for tochein should be aser. Comes the Aruch HaShulchan and says, I don't know what you're talking about. In Achanami, it's true that most people use their cleaver, their hakmesser. Messer is a knife. Hak means banging. It's a big cleaver. It's true most people use that for mincing, but basically it's just a knife. It happens to be people use it for mincing, but that doesn't mean it's a kli miyuchad for mincing. And therefore, he thinks that's moter. Moshe is noter like the Aruch HaShulchan. Yeah.
Can you give a sort of call between why Borer can have issue with Kli but Tolkien wouldn't? And if you do that, you can understand why the folks would just care about this book, the whole issue and not.
We discussed why that would be.
I want to hear something this morning.
Well, we thought maybe it has to do with the teeth, that the teeth are similar to a Kli and they're not subject to Tolkien. So therefore, it can't be that a Kli is subject to, by definition, subject to tochein. However, if you have something which is a kli miyuchad lakach, forgetting the uvdin dechol problem, if it's miyuchad lakach, then you could say categorically it's not similar to your teeth.
No, that's not point. I'm not saying that you pointed out that most of us can take a rebush and ignore the first part and throw the second part, which means that there's a sort of, they don't want to draw a parallel between Boer and tochein.
Right. In that regard, yeah. Because they'll just say tochein is not subject to right, to that same stratification. Oh. All of this being, you know, taken into consideration, so we talked, our first ha'ara was, well, what kind of foods are subject to tochein? The second ha'ara was that the Rashba tells us that if you're doing it miyad, that's not a problem. So we saw the different approaches in Achronim. The third issue was, well, let's say you already did tochein. Is there any trina achar trina? And even if there is an issue of tochein achar tochein, or even if there is not, we still have to contend with the issue of kliyam yuchel lekach. So ad kan four ha'aros. Last three more ha'aros. Last 3 points. The Rambam told us, Havachati chaseyerek, dak dak, today levashel, dak dak. So what is dak dak? So the good news is that the Halaga Yoreim, already 900 years ago, told us, he doesn't know what it is. And if the Yoreim doesn't know what it is, milanu, you know, in Mirishonim kamalachim, Rishonim kibnei Adam. So this is important ha'ara, right? What is dak dak? The Rebbe says, I don't know. The Tosfos on Kuf Yud Dalet says, it says chatichos dakus ma'od, right? Rashi says porim miloshon firma, where you just have the little shreds, little tiny pieces of
mincemeat,
exactly. So the Orcha Shabbos, he says, you know, how big is dak dak? I don't know. He says, obviously, cutting something in half or in 3 pieces, like Ramosha says, it's not wood where it would be different. Ramosha says, imagine you're cutting your tomatoes, you're cutting your radishes for the salad, or you're cutting the cucumbers. So what is dak dak? So we don't know. Aruch HaShem says, I don't know. Yossi sent around a piece from Shlomo Zalman and said, maybe it depends on whether you're going to need to chew it up afterwards. But I saw you,
it
was a huge kula, but I did see, you lent me that sefer, so I saw some of the other achronim didn't like that.
Makes sense.
So that, so the other poskim.
Unless you're in parade, it's
not talking. So the Orcha Shabbos says, he says, the truth is, he says, I don't know what to tell you. And therefore, I think, based on everything that we've learned until now, you need to think about it in 2 different directions. If you're dealing with a case that you could potentially run afoul of an Isser Trina D'Oraisa, you should be very careful. The person should be very, very concerned that if they're getting too close to Dak Dak in this particular food, right, Lechura, this one, you should certainly say it's going to be subjective. If you take a radish and cut it in half, that's going to be different than if you take a green bean and cut it in half. So A, it's going to be subjective based on the food. But the bigger issue is B, is what we're saying, you have to know the context. If you're potentially violating Nisa Daraisa, so you should probably be much more careful. But, and this is what Menachem was raising before, but if you're talking about a case where you're doing it before the meal anyway, and you're doing it with something which is Nechal Chai, and it's Ochel, so Hakminish Kinchainik, according to the majority of the Rishonim, there's no tochein here at all. So how dak is dak dak? So you tell the person, a little bit bigger than you would normally cut it. Lechora, that should suffice.
And if you understand that tchina is about transformative, so then it's not to be subjected to food.
Right, because it's just...
So I saw years before, we see on the show, I put up on the tube inside, look again. He said that any sour maybe nowadays is not
he thinks it's not tochein.
You know, you cut a big tomato in quarters, like it's not.
It's interesting because there are other poskim who are very, you know, they're eishel hava. Israeli salad, they say that's a shear of tochein. So that's hard to know.
So you're just cutting it up.
It's hard to know. It's very hard to know. So lechor, if you're doing it before and you're using raw vegetables that you're not cooking, so make it a little bit bigger. Usually you make your Israeli salad like this, so you make it like this. So I don't know, but that's what Aruch HaShabbos says. It says, do it a little bigger. What are you going to do? But in this context, that's why, I didn't really understand. They quote from Rav Yashiv that julienne is a problem for vegetables. And
julienne
is when you make something a very thin, long slice. So I didn't understand what Ramosha writes, Beferish. Rav Moshe writes, as Gordon, it's hard to understand how making something a skinny, long, thread-like item, how is that called tochein?
I had one svara, I don't know if it works, that we talk about making kindling with the wood.
Yeah.
The svara that's longer and thin. But I
the Rashi is Sola Silti.
The Sola Silti is
long, thin pieces. And Rashi's also case, Rashi's case of tochein by the making of the basket.
And that's exactly what Moshe says. A non-food item could be different.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
Okay. So this is, you know, it's a shtickel tzarachim. I don't know. But Moshe said beferish. Julian is not a problem. Yeah.
So now that we're talking about the previous point, did you consider the possibility of Rambam's Kedeva Vashel completely different than the Smala?
So the Aruch HaShulchan has an enormous, enormous chiddush. The Kedei Levashel is a measure of size.
Yeah,
it's very ingenious. It's very ingenious. So
no one else takes it back.
I shouldn't say nobody else. How do I know? But I'm just saying that.
But listen to the Rambam. The Rambam says like this. Is this parak yud halacha yud?
Right. Did everybody see this Aruch HaShulchan? Aruch HaShulchan says, when the Rambam says, Hamachate chaserek, dak, Kedei Levashel is modifying how dak. It's dark enough that you would cook it. The difficulty with that is... Yeah, go ahead.
Listen to this Rambam. He's describing the halacha.
No. Good.
Hakorea kedei litvor shtei tefiros.
Yes.
What does kedei there mean? It doesn't mean almanas, because the next line is almanas litvor shtei tefiros.
Correct.
So kedei in this line means the shear of two tefiros. The Rambam uses the word kedei and at least one other place to mean the shear. So it's not a big chiddush in the linguistics.
But logically, it's difficult. Logically, it's difficult. Meaning, why is the size of the item correlated with the cooking of the item? That should depend.
Because it's only tochein if you approximate tochein.
But I'm saying
powder. This is tochein if it's the shear. If it's small, how small is that? The cooking size.
But that's the thing that I don't understand. You can cook things at a different size. It's not that there is one size that you cook things at. You can make large chunks in the pot, and you can make small chunks in the pot.
I understand.
That's why it's...
So you ask a chef, you want to dice this onion.
Yes.
You want this onion to be diced for a salad, or you want this onion to be diced for fried onions? Or you want this onion to be diced
so
for...
So he'll tell you...
He knows
it
exactly
depends.
The size for every single...
Yes, but it's not because one is being cooked. That's exactly the Raya Lehefech. It's not because one is going to be cooked and one is not going to be cooked. It's because what the size is relative to the dish that he's making is important.
But
now, it could be the Aruch HaShulchan is making an assumption that in the times of the Rambam, they had a specific size that they used for cooking. But that's a very big assumption. But, okay, I don't know if the post can...
Do you know anyone who's a professional, like world-class trained, like in a non-kosher...
No, we have to find someone like this and ask them. But I... I don't know. I don't know if they are like Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, let's talk about the last... couple items. One is, this is very important. The Rambam writes in Halacha Yud Gimel, you saw this, the Rambam writes that if you have something which was cooked up on Erev Shabbos so much that it's so soft to the extent that it is falling apart, so there's no tochein on that item. Why not? Because it's similar to the idea of ein tochein achar tochein. Tochein is taking one item and subdividing it. But if it's already falling apart, you haven't subdivided anything. There's no problem of tochein there. Now, by the way, we forgot to mention, there are some who thought that maybe we should not pasken ein tochein achar tochein. Haraya, the Rashba, I forgot to mention this before, the Rashba, in the case of tearing up the bread in front of the birds, say, oh, you see the Rashba doesn't hold of ein tochein achar tochein.
He doesn't like the Rashba. He wants to set it up as a machlokes.
But lechora, the answer to that point could be that these are multiple perspectives on the same issue. So you're right. It could be, you could have answered ein tochein achar tochein. The Rashba says, I have a better answer. It's called Walter. And the vice versa. All those who don't quote the Rashba, like the Ran quoted the Rashba, and then he quoted the Ein Tochein Achar Tochein. Doesn't mean that the Ran doesn't hold up the Rashba. It just means that these are two different ways of addressing the same issue. Oh. So, getting back again here, the Rama would say, well, since you cooked it up on Erev Shabbos to the point where it's so soft, it's falling apart, then there's no Tochein. So, this is quoted. The Shemir Shabbos quotes it. Orcha Shabbos quotes it. Chazonish quotes it. Chazonish was into this. However, the important caveat that the Orcha Shabbos, the Shemir Shabbos makes, is that what's happening here? You took an item and you cooked it. And by you cooking it, you have broken down the item so that it's soft. It's like the equivalent of already being nitchan. But let's say you have an item that sat out for a long time. So the Achron, the Shmir Shabbos, the Orcha Shabbos, they are machmir. And they say that even though at a soft touch, it's going to instantly fall apart, that's not subject to this principle of being mufka from tochin, because to be mafkia it, that it's got to be more similar to that heter of ein tochin achar tochin, like the Urim, that you've already done a pu'ula that was mafkia the gush echad, the status of it being one entity. So therefore, comes like this. Sometimes you have this. This comes up in the question about a potato from the chalent on the plate. So a lot of times, the potatoes in the chalent, they're so cooked that they're not subject to tochin. So there's nothing wrong with smushing it if it's totally soft. But others... others say, but wait a second. What are you talking about? You need to use... Imagine a guy takes the back of his handle. The problem is, Ramosha says, that's not really a shino either. So he goes to get a shoe and he starts going like this. You know, like... Wait a second, what are we talking about? It's on the plate. It's miyad.
It's chalent. They maybe put it back in the pot after, and then
it's going to be mavashlo for the Motzei Shabbos. So there are a lot of reasons to be mekel in that case, because it comes up, you see sometimes some of the halachas from, they quote this about the potato from the chalent. How much was it cooked? Is it so soft that it's falling apart already? L'chore, even if it's not so soft that it's falling apart already, you have lots of reasons to be mekel. Right before you're about to eat it. So, you know, if you see somebody who's like, they're testing the potato, let them, love them, you know. If they're happy, let them be happy. Yeah, if they want to be
happy.
So they ain't talking, I'm talking. But it's dafka, if you did the pu'ul on it before, if you have a very soft avocado, that won't help you. Oh, but this brings us to the next point, because in the context of this potato, you can have another perspective, which is that when you smash the potato, is that tochein? Nicha, if you take a knife and you cut up the potato into small, tiny pieces, or if you have something that's very dry and you smash it and it pulverizes into 1,000 pieces, okay, that's tochein. But if you take a potato, especially one that was peeled already, and you press it slightly, and it starts to squish, have you really done tochein? Chazanish says, yeah, you did tochein. That's why Chazanish says, if you take a banana and you squash it, you just did tochein. Rav Moshe says, in that tshuva, he says, what are you talking about? He says, that's not tochein. It's true. It's possible, Rav Moshe agrees, if you have multiple particles which are held together through a viscous liquid, let's say the case of the grogros, the charuvim, they're individual pieces, and they're kind of glued together. So there, if you take one piece, one grogeris, and you smash it, and now you have little pieces of grogeris that are stuck together with the liquid, which is glue, so then that's tochein. But to take one item and to flatten it, to take a banana and to squish it down, how is that tochein? That's just changing the shape of one item. So you take an avocado, and you take the avocado, and you mash it down. You cut it out of the bottom thing, you know? You're making a guacamole. You take it out of the bottom. What's that? We're going to get to lush next time, Mirtz Hashem. I don't think you have lush in making guacamole. Probably not. You put mayo in guacamole? Really?
Lemon juice.
I talked about lemon juice.
Lemon juice and pepper.
Right, we're going to get to lemon juice, that there's not going to be any tochein there. Not going to be lush. But to mash it down, or to spread it on your sandwich, that's not called tochein. That's what Moshe claims. I think that's the Mechilkos. Yeah.
Is it
a careful reader of the Chazanish, even though he differentiates between Barasik and Mechatzik, you were in Bnei Brak and they took it out an avocado. The link is the derech of eating avocados is to be Barasik, just to spread avocados. Because even Mechatzik might agree that it's okay to spread an avocado.
I don't know, because it sounded like he thought that the marasik is categorical.
No, because he says marasik is not derech achila, but tochin is, because mechatik, but you in fact do that with avocados.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. So the last point in this whole discussion is the issue of shinui. Because the Gemara told us, this is the first Gemara that we saw in this whole topic, says, don't worry, use a kata de sakina. It comes up here because Chazanish says, well, if you want to do the miach of the bananas, you have to use the kata de kaf. So Rav Moshe is upset about that because Rav Moshe says, I don't understand. The whole chap of a kata de sakina is that the machteshes, or the sakin, they accomplish a particular result. And by using the kata de sakina, you have a totally different end product. As opposed to here, what's the difference if you take the front of the spoon or the back of the spoon? It's the same. So the Rosh is upset about that heter of the Chazanish b'chlal. So forgetting the Chazanish for a minute, but what's this heter? What's the pshat in this heter of the kata de sakina? Gevalt. So we saw Beis Yosef quote some who say it's a shinui gadol. Shinui gadol. Big shinui. And this l'chora might relate to the machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Taz, whether or not, in the case of using the plate, meaning was the plate the pulverizer or was it the bottom, right? The Magen Avraham said the plate was the pulverizer. You need one shinui. And that shinui is so substantial. The other achronim said, no, the plate was on the bottom rather than using the pestle. So you have one shinui, double shinui, that does the trick. So if you go with the non-Magen Avraham that you need a double shinui, so maybe somehow in certain areas of Hilchos Shabbos, one shinui plus another shinui equals heter l'chatchila. But if you don't, if you follow the Magen Avraham, then it's only one shinui. So what's the pshat? One shinui, that's enough. That's sufficient to make it heter l'chatchila. It should be pater aval aser. And what's the hagdara of what the Beis Yosef quoted that's a shinui gadol? If we go back to that first initial discussion about shinui and Melechus Machsheves from the Egle Tal, mamish awesome. Because by using the kata de sakina, you have created a shinui that is so fundamental, it has both of the criteria. It's a shinui be'echas hapoel. Nobody normal uses the back of their knife to pulverize or to grind or to mince, to tochin. So that's one shinui. You also have a shinui be'echas hanifal. You have a product which is not similar at all. It's totally different. When it comes out at the end, it's not going to be as well chopped and well refined. So that's the heter of kata de sakina. So to summarize our 7 points. Number one, what foods are subject to tochin? Somebody calls you, they want to know, is this a problem on Shabbos? First, you have to find out what food they're talking about. Are they talking about something which is a non-food item or a food item? If it's a food item, is it gedulei karka? Is it not gedulei karka? Is it kedei levashlo? Is it eaten chai? Then we said, you got to figure out when you're doing it. If it's miyad, so you have the Rashba, which Rav Avadya said was a very strong heter. Mishnah Berurah said, don't rely on it super lachatchila, and Chazanish, not into it at all. The third issue we talked about was then, well, what about if it's tochen achar tochen? So we quoted, we mentioned the Urayim and the Tosfos with the Machlokas Poskim about the chocolate, whether that's called Panim Chadashah, says Yasid Lashon. Fourth issue, the Kliya Miyuchad, both mitzah, the connection to Borer, and mitzad, Uvdin Dechol. Now, how you shots up Uvdin Dechol, that I don't know. That Rav Moshe tries to explain in that tshuva. But if you have something which is a specialized piece of equipment that's normally used during the week to do for this process, that will be subject to Uvdin Dechol. I mean, the machlok is about the hakmesser because it's not exclusively created and crafted for that purpose, but it's used for that purpose. That was the machlokas. Rav Moshe was Mako. Issue number four was the question of size, which we said it's difficult to give a hagdara, so depending on the context, how much more machmir versus how much more mekel do you need to be? Issue number five was that chiddush of the Rambam, something that was already nizbashot, but it had dafka, the maisa be the adam, so it's a little bit similar in a certain sense to tochen achar tochen, it's not a problem. Number six, machlokas chazanish and Ramosh about squishing the bananas. So if you're machmir, like the Chazanish, you got to use a shinui. And the Chazanish's shinui is kata de kaf, but l'chora, you could even be more machmir than the Chazon Ish, because you could say that you need to use something which is less effective or more unusual than the back, because Ramosha says that that's not a good shinoi. So lishi tasei, maybe you want to be more machmir. And then that brought us to the last point of this idea of the shinoi, of the kata de sakina, is because it's creating, according to El Yital, not just a double shinoi like the Taz, and not just the fact that it's a shinoi gadol, it's a fundamental shinoi, both beichas apol, beichas anifal, and therefore it's going to be mutar lechatchila.